Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Granula was already taken. Like, what do you mean? There was one, like Peter said, there was one other fucking cereal, and you just called it the other guy's cereal?
That's exactly what he did.
Oh, yeah. God.
Hey, what's up, dudes? It's the Lore Boys.
What's up, dudes?
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Lore Boys. This time, I'm bringing you some CE real history / lore.
That's pretty good. That's pretty good. You write that one? You write that one ahead of time, or is that off the dome?
I wrote it down.
It's fine. A joke crafted as finely as a bowl of cereal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, that one was fresh today, though. It's not soggy yet. Made it right before.
You could tell that was cereal before milk. That's the kind of joke that was.
It's the only way to do it.
Yeah. So my name is James Miller. Who else is here?
I'm Ethan, enjoying a good bowl of GMO cereal. GMO, a lot like eugenics when you think about it.
Yeah, God must oblige is what that stands for.
What GMO stands for. I love my God must oblige chord.
And Pete, I'm my favorite cereal for real is Quaker oatmeal squares, which I think is a different guy.
Quaker oatmeal squares, I've never had.
Blue box, little pillow, delicious, love them.
Okay, I was standing in the cereal aisle today when I was on my way back from work, just like. Looking at the cereal being like, what do I want to get? I'm like, I'm at that age now where I'm like looking at the sugar content of cereals and I'm like, how does Cinnamon Toast Crunch have almost less sugar than like Raisin Bran? You know what I mean? Like there's
what? You, like, really?
Healthy cereal has so much sugar too. Like it all just has so much sugar. It's crazy. Yeah. Like mini wheats. It's like as bad as any of the.
I've got mini wheats now. Yeah. For the fiber.
They're great. The fiber's great. I need it for my hemorrhoids. But
the original creator of cereal really would not have liked that there was sugar in your breakfast cereal. It's meant to be non-stimulating and just purely nutritional and help you poop. That's all it's supposed to be. Yeah.
Yeah. Is he like a prison colony guy? Like this utilitarian approach to food is weird.
Okay, well,
I suppose we're gonna find out.
We're gonna have to get into it. Before we get started, do we have any new patrons in the past week?
Who are we sending the box of cereal?
We've got one that we have in the inbox right now. Warm welcome to Lore Boys reference and shout out to Ed Gein's belt who joined.
That's
us.
A Lore Boys reference.
The nipple belt is the heart of the nipple belt was a title of one of our episodes, and yeah. Ed Gein, the guy
I fucking repressed the show.
I only remember a couple of things, but yeah, Ed Gein, the guy who like inspired Buffalo Bill, which maybe we talked about on Hannibal, and it's an episode that I wrote. That's why
we talked about on the Kirby episode, probably.
Yeah, because I googled his house to draw those boo cops in. Yeah. But yes, he had like a belt made of human nipples that he had made for after robbing graves, and like a lampshade and stuff. So Ed Gein's belt. I'm so glad it's still out there. And also, thank you for your support.
Yeah, nothing like that today. At most, there might be mass foreskin production, but not production, but removal. Yeah. What? Well, okay. Harvested from one person and given to another, I guess.
Oh, of course, yeah. This is the Bill Gateses of the worlds in the 1920s lined up to get their more foreskins.
So I couldn't find anyone who wanted this episode based off the Discord, but don't worry, I know what's
like
best.
The way that you put that.
No one wanted
Nobody wanted this.
This is what we're gonna do. So do you guys eat cereal? What's your stance on cereal? I haven't eaten cereal since being a kid. I don't buy it.
Huge cereal guy. I'm a cereal at night guy.
Okay.
Like a snack between to tide me over from dinner to bedtime is when I eat cereal.
That's a good one.
I haven't had cereal for breakfast in probably over a decade. I'm very much a bagel and cream cheese first, which is my optimal breakfast personally.
Me, it's eggs. Jam. I go eggs. Eggs almost every morning.
And then I'll do sliced meat in lieu of bacon or something like that. Like I had ham cream cheese on an everything bagel this morning. But
think of all those nitrates, Peter.
I know. I know.
I eat eggs because I'm vegetarian, so like it's like animal protein and a lot of good vitamins that I don't get in my diet. So I try deliberately to eat a lot of eggs, but then also I fucking love eggs.
I like eggs too. I like a bagel cream cheese, but if I'm like trying to be watch my weight, like be a little healthier, then I'll just do like a couple eggs, maybe like one piece of toast or like some turkey bacon or something. Like
sure.
Yeah. I currently have mini wheats, but it's just for my munchies basically. So like I will either get a flavor for sparkling water or some kind of cereal, either oatmeal squares or mini wheats, just to snack on. Because like when I get the munchies, I'm stoned. I need to eat. But I just don't want to do chips or candy or anything like that. And I understand there's 500,000 grams of sugar in fucking mini wheats, but it feels smarter than eating a bag of like wine gums or something.
Yeah, I eat a lot of cereal. My favorite cereal all time, probably number one with a bullet, Reese Puffs.
Good. Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah.
What we eat a lot of mini wheats. I very unironically really like cornflakes. Cornflakes with some banana, sliced up banana and sugar. Very, very good. My wife has got me on the plain Cheerios, not the Honey Nut. Just the plain Cheerios.
Multigrain Cheerios are the best ones. Multigrain, there's like a bunch of different colors. They're my fave.
I was never a big Cheerio guy. Yeah, we've had the multigrain a few times now too, but just the... they've grown on me. I've eaten it enough times. Like,
I love how most of our audience is in the U.S. listening to us talk about things that have like and complaining about the amount of sugar in plain Cheerios when they're sitting there eating something that is just boiled styrofoam with like a cartoon animal on the box. Right?
Well, I was just about to say, like, what I like about plain Cheerios is it's really reminiscent of eating a box of or a bowl of cardboard with like milk. It's like milky cardboard. You know what I mean? Yeah. There's something nice about that. My wife just messaged me on Discord presumably to tell you, Peter, the multigrain has more sugar. That's why we eat the plain.
Oh.
But they're tastier. They're tasty. You can tell them apart.
Of course they're tastier.
You can tell them apart.
Well, cornflakes did come from our boy, John Kellogg, who we're going to be talking about today. It's developed in his sanitarium we're going to talk more about.
Cool. Oh, okay. Holy shit.
Yeah. But before we get there, we've got a little ways to go. Let's first think, what was breakfast like a couple hundred years ago, back before cereal, but in colonial times leading up to the Industrial Revolution? What was friggin' breakfast like, guys? What would you eat? Do you know?
Hardtack, maybe a piece of jerky if you were porridge? A millionaire.
Bread?
Gruel.
So these are good guesses. I think
gruel is a type of porridge.
Oatmeal, gruel, and porridge are all kind of the same thing.
Oatmeal is a type of porridge. Porridge typically means any like boiled down, usually grass or something like that. So like,
if you're a farmer, you could have eggs. Those are free.
So yeah. Porridge,
free from your chicken's butt.
Part of the problem with porridge is unless you'd already prepared it or were using already baked bread, you would have to go and get those grains and really work them a lot in the morning before you could actually make the porridge. And it was so time consuming. You would have to wake up at like 4 or 5 in the morning just to have your like 7 or 8 a.m. breakfast.
I don't know. I would be exhausted at that point. I wouldn't be able to masturbate at all.
I would have assumed that it was like a, you put them in a pot with water and then you like leave it next to the hearth. Right. Okay. And it's just like just enough heat overnight to like be soft in the morning kind of thing.
Maybe some people did that, but the common thing to do was just to eat your leftovers from dinner. So if you had you had meat and potatoes.
Pilgrim's eating cold pizza in the morning, dude. Let's go.
It usually was more like a meat and a potato type of thing, or like a meat and a vegetable. And they would leave it all night and it would like coagulate in its own fat. and then they would fry it up in the morning kind of thing.
Yeah, you can do like a French Canadian stuff. Like there's a lot of like, my dad makes a great one. It's like molasses beans and pâté, which is just like foie gras, which is just like fat and like animal livers.
Kind of. We have something called crouton.
Crouton, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Excuse me.
It's like beef. It's another similar. I thought it was more made with beef crouton, but maybe I'm wrong.
It's like chicken liver and chicken heart, I believe is how my dad does it. And the fat all holds it together.
You're right. Pâté is its own thing too, I think.
I looked it up. It seems like pâté is the general term, is the porridge, if you will. Whereas crouton is a cold spiced pork pâté.
Oh, it's a pork pâté. Okay, well, good to know. But that'd be something pretty common for breakfast then. You would have whatever the night was before.
Get your lumps of lard.
Yeah, exactly. Put that all together. And that was fine.
One more quick thing about pâté or crouton is when my dad would make it, he uses, again, like chicken parts. I wouldn't eat it as a baby. I wouldn't eat it if he told me it was chicken liver and chicken hearts. So he was like, it's monkey meat. And I was like, oh, delicious. And he still calls it monkey meat when he's making it. And like for Christmas or whatever, he's like, oh, do you want me to make you some monkey meat? I'll bring it over. You can have it for Christmas and take it home. I'm like, yeah, absolutely. But it's because I refused to eat chicken hearts when I was a baby.
I saw him the other day and he was making a big deal about me having a rosé wine next to me. He's like, oh, you're drinking the rosé. Drinking the rosé. I'm like, are you trying to like say I'm less of a man for drinking pink wine or something?
Well, it's a woman's color, maybe. Yeah.
He's 60 years old. I guarantee that's exactly what he was saying.
He's like, come to my house and call me gay. Okay. Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Yeah, anyway. It doesn't matter how right you are. Don't do it.
Yeah, exactly. So people would just eat whatever was from the night before. But it turns out that eating a heavy meal of mostly meat or the same thing three times a day is not ideal for everyone's health.
Jordan Peterson's doing great. Check that out.
Even today, we have heard of people eating red meat every meal and they end up crying on the internet.
Also getting damage and going to Russia for sketchy surgery. So, like,
yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I cry on the internet too.
Yep. As time went on, some of the wealthier folks, especially Europeans, followed more of a trend that they'd have this giant breakfast buffet, cold smoked tongue, ham, sausage, egg dishes, closer to something you'd see on a breakfast menu today. But that's still not where we're at yet, where we still had people eating their dinner for breakfast.
I refuse to start my day without some cold smoked tongue. Okay.
One time I had to delay my dad to get home for his surprise party, and we went shopping and he was just going way too quick. I didn't know what to do, so I was like, fuck, I'm gonna have to break something to like keep us here longer. And I found a jar of tongues, pickled tongues, and I was like, no one's gonna miss this. And I just threw it on the floor and it smashed.
Oh my god.
I would have you arrested. I am a firm believer that like all these people who go on TikTok and fuck with drive-thru workers are like, and you should not fuck with people making minimum wage, dude.
It was a small, no, it was like a small family-owned store. This guy owned
that's
the
worse.
Store.
It's worse. Yeah.
Oh, no, I know. But I was like, oh, my dad will pay for it or whatever. Like, I just need to hold him here longer, right?
Just grab the steering wheel from him fucking next time. You won't ruin anyone else's day.
So I break it. Tongues and glass everywhere. And the guy's like, no, don't worry about it. You guys go on your way. So it didn't even stall us. The guy just let us go.
I hope Pop from that mom and pop shop is now listening to this episode years later, like, it was him. He lied.
Ethan, I can tell you which store it was. It's not so far from you. You can go check in on him.
Oh, damn. Okay.
Yeah.
He's got like a bad picture of Jamie up on the wall. It's like, have you seen this man? It's like him wearing sunglasses.
It's a child. Yeah, he's wearing sunglasses. Up. He's got a baby bonnet and a diaper on with a big lollipop and a sis.
I was like 16. Yeah.
All right. So we got these wealthy folks who can afford the tongues off the grocery store floor. This is not happening for them right now. Right now, our Americans, our cool, our warm-blooded Americans are eating breakfast for dinner or dinner for breakfast.
What year-ish is this? This is like 19th century?
So we're getting into John Harvey Kellogg's life now, who was born in 1852. But we're kind of talking.
Okay.
Yeah, we're talking leading into it kind of thing.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. So John, so to get the full history on Serial and how it came to be, well, we
the
can hop
podcast, right. Dude. So excited.
Yeah, Serial.
We're gonna find out what happened to Adnan. Adnan?
We actually have interviews.
I think he's out.
John Harvey Kellogg. Yeah. Yeah. And you notice that he has a middle name, so he has indeed assassinated someone, like a president or something.
Oh, true.
John Harvey Kellogg.
Yeah. So he's an American businessman, inventor, physician, an advocate of the progressive movement. What's the progressive movement back then? It's a period of widespread social activism and political reform across the United States on defeating corruption, monopoly, waste, and inefficiency. So all seems like good stuff.
Seems like good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah,
good thing right, that's all that's in this Pandora's box.
Yeah. He seems good and cool. He must be a great guy. So I can show you guys the first picture. He's the director of this place. It was fucking amazing for the time. The Battle Creek Sanitarium in Battle Creek, Michigan.
Shit.
Yeah, it's like five stories. Yeah.
It's like a million square feet. Like, holy.
He treated a lot of folks in there. There's it combined aspects of a European spa, a hydrotherapy institution. We'll talk more about that later. A hospital, a high class hotel. It was a place to be. Henry Ford attended, Thomas Edison, Amelia Earhart, bunch of famous people of the time.
I don't know, Doc. I just keep dreaming that I'm gonna be devoured by crabs.
That's what happened to her, right? She crashed on the crab place.
Yeah, Christmas Island. Yeah,
yeah, crash landed on Crab Planet.
Yep, crab rave around the. So Kellogg, in this beautiful place, he treated the rich and famous, but he also treated the poor who could not afford other hospitals. So pretty cool guy so far.
Okay,
sure.
Yeah,
really feel like you're setting. You've put one foot firmly down, and you're setting us up for another foot shoe to drop or something. I don't know. Yeah.
Shoes never drop twice, dude. Come on.
Oh,
come on. Grow up, Ethan.
Fairy tales.
He was an early proponent of the germ theory of disease. So he's like ahead of his time. He related intestinal flora and the presence of bacteria in intestines to health and disease.
Cool.
Wow. Pretty ahead of his time. The sanitarium, so this huge compound, approached treatment in a holistic manner. They promoted vegetarianism, nutrition, exercise, sunbathing, hydrotherapy, no smoking, no drinking. Honestly, pretty healthy place. Like, for the time, they were doing pretty good.
All that shit is still good advice. Like,
Sunbathing's not.
Oh, that's true. Vegetarianism,
getting outside is good. Yeah.
Hydrotherapy too is not like drink 8 glasses of water a day. It's like, oh, do you have syphilis? Well, you can stay in a bath for weeks to months.
That's really bad for you.
Yeah.
Well, is it as bad as syphilis?
Your skin falls off if you stay wet too long.
Your skin falls off if you have syphilis.
You go crazy, don't you?
You do. Stage 3 syphilis, I believe, is when it starts to eat pockets into your brain.
I see. Can you imagine just like just a bunch of screaming lunatics
shackled
in a bathtub? Yeah.
I think we got our episode.
And he's just dumping oatmeal into it. He's just like, it's gotta work.
Yeah. And you can just go ahead and use like different cereal mascots and have them chained down. So you can have like Tony the Tiger.
Yeah,
they're not great. They're keeping me here forever.
Condoms.
So some other stuff he was into. He believed in yogurt enemas to clear intestinal flora.
I believe in yogurt enemas, so.
Okay. Also super against sexual activity. Unless you're making a kid. He never even had a kid himself. He had a wife and he didn't ever have a kid. So
he's like super anti-gay. He's just like, that is exit only an entry for yogurt, dudes. That is immoral what you're doing.
Dude, yeah. He's very strange. He didn't have kids. He, I think I mentioned later, he fostered like almost 50 kids, which was pretty good. And I think he adopted 8 of them. So that's, on the whole, that's probably pretty good for the world. Although, How good he was as a dad remains to be seen. We weren't there, but yeah. Taking 50 kids off the streets probably a good thing.
We have buried the lead a little bit here. He does have some very negative outlooks, I think, on a lot of things like race and eugenics and stuff like that.
Yes, he does.
Everything you've told me so far is like, oh, this guy, you know, ironically, maybe sounds a little neurodivergent, and like it wasn't necessarily a thing at the time that people could recognize or diagnose, and so you know, has now just, you know, as a successful doctor and physician, you know, became like a trusted source for a lot of misinformation based on his own like personal ideals and beliefs.
Yeah, he's a bad guy. He hates masturbation too, like not only sexual activity, but you're not allowed to touch yourself, and he would give like kids cages or like painful circumcisions so they couldn't touch themselves, or it was too it would hurt too much. So this stuff that I didn't include off the top, but like he is a bad guy, and we're kind of laughing at the good things he's doing ironically. But
a lot of his like sanitarium advice is just like, he's just a primordial guest for like the Joe Rogan Experience, right? He just like has a bunch of kind of like really 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 basic woo woo good advice, like eating vegetables, and he presents that as like revelatory
stuff that we all do.
Exactly. Yogurt enemas. He'd be like, oh, that's wild, man.
You don't need a vaccine, dude. All you gotta do is eat some vegetables and stay in the bath for this month, and you're gonna be okay.
I showered a couple times when I had COVID. It went away. I don't know if it was the vaccines I took or the warm water. I'm not a doctor.
Once your water becomes yogurt colored, you know it's time to change the water. And
oh no.
Okay, but bad guy. But let's lead up kind of what his history was. To lead him to have the thoughts that he did, especially around sexuality and why he even became a doctor. So before Kellogg was born, we're stepping back. This is the religious kind of path that led to his sect. And first, before he was born, that led to his sect was the Millerites. They follow the teachings of William Miller. So Bill Miller, back in 1831.
Bill Millerson.
Yep. He first shaved pubically. I mean, shared publicly.
No ghost of Dr. Kellogg, not the cage. Not the ectoplasmic chastity cage again.
His belief that the second advent of Jesus Christ would occur roughly in the year 1843 to 1844.
Did it happen?
There's a big group of folks, and they're all like, he's coming. We can't wait. He's coming. Bill Mill said so.
I love the chutzpah of these guys to just be like, hey, we believe in this storybook for children from 2,000 years ago. that says like he's gonna come back, okay? And you know what? It's been 1,830 years. I bet you it's in my lifetime.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
It's just. And I bet you I'm actually the 60-year window that he comes back in.
And I deserve to lead the folks to him because obviously I'm as important. I'm part of this. I'm super important. And,
yeah. Exactly. I'm the most important here.
Yeah.
Jesus is the B story. Jesus coming back is the B story. I'm the A story in the movie.
Yep. So, William Miller, he lost all his followers around 1844, 1845, whenever
the day after Jesus didn't come back.
It's probably like a few days after. You could string them, if you string them along for that long, you keep stringing them for like a week, right? Be like, oh, I must have got the dates wrong, guy. Oh, I was holding the calendar upside down. Oh, no, it's later. It's next week, actually.
The tale on a failed doomsday prophecy, I wonder? Just like,
Yeah, it turns out heaven wasn't a place on earth. It's taking him a while to get here. It'll be a while. But the Millerites, they look for new ideologies. So there's a bunch of branches that came out of the Millerites. Because they're like, well, if Jesus didn't show up on his watch, then one of us should make a new watch. And it's going to be us.
And I'm quaking in anticipation to find out what kind of sex were made.
I found some interesting illustrations by this guy as well, which I'll toss in the images here for the page.
By John Harvey Kellogg or by Bill Miller?
By Billy Miller. By Billy Miller.
Oh, wow.
Wow. Yeah,
really cool. Really cool. Like old, like I guess like pencil or like ink drawings of like mythological creatures. He's got like the
basic math on when the god, on when God's gonna come back.
Yeah, there's like calculations.
A chronological chart of the visions of Daniel and John. Yeah, this is his like this is his Nostradamus, right?
Yeah.
So it's his penmanship and like or his quick maths on when the big J is coming back.
I like the Hydra in pagan Rome. Next to the Hydra, I don't know if you guys can see this. There's Jesus of Nazareth on the cross.
Yeah.
And it looks like he's got four titties, like two stacked on top of each other.
Yeah, he does.
Shading, but
what? Well, he has four titties. Maybe yeah. I could get behind this whole thing.
No, John Henry Kellogg's ghost, not the ectoplasmic chastity gauge, please.
So yeah, like I said, the Millerites, they kind of fell apart and they started to look for new ideologies. And one of the new branches was the Seventh-day Adventist Church.
I've heard of these guys.
Do you know what they stand for? I have it written down, but
no.
No, okay.
They stand for a week of 7 days.
It's true.
No more.
Jesus, so Sunday?
That's well,
what's
start.
The end of their week? Saturday, Friday, Saturday, or Sunday?
Okay.
Saturday.
Monday okay. is we work in the light shop, right? Everybody takes a turn at the lighthouse. Mm-hmm. What is day
it starts
two?
On Sunday. It starts on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. The Lord's Day?
Saturday,
the seventh day was the day for rest.
Well, this is their whole thing. It's the Seventh-day Adventist Church. They say, no, Saturday was the seventh day of the week. You started on the wrong day.
That's so fucking stupid. Jesus Christ. What? The calendar was like invented after the fact of all this, right?
I think there's some calendars that go Sunday to Saturday.
Your Maybe phone will ask, like, what do you
for
think
sure.
the first day of the week is, Pete?
That's and what I mean. Like, it's all fucking arbitrary. It's just like, what do you track your days by? Like,
oh, yeah. They have other stuff, too, that they believe
they're
in.
They're all named for fucking Norse gods anyway, the days. what are they talking about?
That's one thing, which is they're like, well, yeah, no, ours is the Saturday. So
sure, yeah, they go to church on Saturdays.
Yeah,
when everything's open and then all day Sunday, they can't fucking do anything because everything's closed. Fucking morons. Right?
Yeah. Well, they go to the sanitarium and take a bath on Sundays or something.
I was gonna say it's 24/7 yogurt enemas. That's
well, not 24/7. It's 24/1.
Well, no, 24 hours. Yeah.
and you would say 24/7 day Adventist, so you know that 24/7
24/7 day enemas.
Yeah, yeah, ends on a Saturday.
You rearrange letters in Adventist, you get enema. There you go.
Anima Vist is what you kind of get.
Yeah. They also place emphasis, on the imminent second coming of Jesus Christ. So they haven't given up on that yet. They just say Bill is wrong about it, but they're still coming.
I was going to say, but they're just edging now.
Not in his lifetime, in our lifetime.
Yeah.
Duh.
And another thing they believe, they're annihilationists, which I just learned is whenever Judgment Day comes, instead of all the people going to heaven and hell, people go to heaven or whatever's next. And everyone who was a sinner or a fallen angel like Satan will have their consciousness
guilty.
Extinguished. So they just get to live with infinite nothingness. If
better than hell.
Sounds, okay. You know what? Yeah, I'd take a yogurt for to get out of hell. Yep. Another thing they believe in is you... which is like a good thing to believe in, is you should keep your body in great shape. Their reason is because if God ever needs you, then you will best serve him if you're ripped or whatever.
There's a lot of stairs in the war between heaven and hell, so you're going to want good cardio.
Yeah. God and grains would be part of a balanced breakfast with no premarital sexual activity. So
fair enough.
Yeah.
God and grains.
Yep.
I want that on a shirt. I'm writing that down for me.
Yeah, so that's kind of where he's coming from. You can imagine there was that whole Bill Miller thing. He failed, then they came up with a new one, who we're going to talk about the leaders of as well, which is Ellen G. White and her husband, James Springer. They were leading the
Seventh G.
Ellen G. White.
Okay. Sorry.
Yeah, yeah.
L and G.
No. Not like a university textbook kind of thing. More more like Ellen G White, yeah.
Yeah, LNG White, liquid natural gas white. It's a sure, it's
yeah.
that
thing. Yeah. But we'll talk more about them in a couple paragraphs. But so back to Kellogg. He was originally a very sick kid. And his parents also believed in the second coming of Christ was imminent and that formal education for their children was not super necessary.
Sure, yeah.
So John Harvey Kellogg went to public school from ages 9 to 11, and then he started working.
I mean, I don't know how unusual that was for the time, honestly. Yeah. Yeah. It was the Industrial Revolution. It was work, work, work. Get in that triangle shirt factory and make us more shirts. We've chained the fire exit shut.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he left school to work sorting brooms in his father's broom factory.
What a fucking made up job, dude. Talk about putting the resume.
Wait till you hear the next one. He also read
a broom sorter
at broom factory.
I'm gonna add that to my LinkedIn.
That's a fucking like, Harry Potter ass fucking job you got.
Yeah, it is.
The fucking muggle at Hogwarts.
Are they taller? Are there different brushes? Like, what are you doing?
I would think. Like, I know we're gonna get into the weeds of the fucking like broom categories at this point. Maybe this started his love of eugenics. Like, he's uneducated, and his dad has him sort brooms by how long the bristles are, and he just starts seeing that shit everywhere. Right?
Maybe it's like a quality. Maybe like some brooms just like naturally come out better and stronger and can jump higher than other brooms.
And he's just like, honestly, if the broom isn't viable by 8 months, we should get rid of it. You're like, no, stop.
You guys are making my next sentence sound really bad, though.
Okay. good. All right. This is your next sentence.
At age 12, John Harvey Kellogg was offered work by the whites.
Okay. Well, really painting a picture here.
They're not the color of the skin. Their last name is white.
But presumably also the color of their skin.
Yeah.
You'd have to guess, yeah. So he became one of their proteges. And he started off as an errand boy. And then he became a printer's devil, which I had to look up.
I can sort your brooms for you, mister. No problem. I'm great at errands. What, you want me to be your printer's devil too?
Yeah,
I want old-timey jobs. I'm like, I don't want like team lead. I was like a coordinator, production manager, none of that shit. I want to be FQA devil when I get one day, right?
I want what do you say? You just work at the broom factory sorting brooms? Boy, do I got a job for you. Printer devil, come on. Come on, kid, keep up. Here's a drop of whiskey for you, huh? We're working here. Come on, stay hydrated.
But so basically what a printer's devil is you just run around and you make sure the printers are running. You like fill the ink. Usually your hands are completely black from the ink by the end of your day. And that's why they call you a printer's devil. Don't know why. Because devils have black hands.
There's like old paintings of demons where it's like he's got like the bright red tongue and the black skin and the goat horns. And like Black Phillip is the evil goat in the witch movie. Right. So like it is an evil color.
Yeah. Okay. In 1683, English printer Joseph Moxon wrote that devil was a humorous term for boys who were covered in ink. Whence the workmen do jocously call them devil, and sometimes spirits and sometimes flies. End quote.
Cool.
So you could also call them. Yeah, you could also call them spirits or flies.
Okay. Well, this spirit or fly was really good at his job, and he was eventually doing proofreading and editorial work. And he became like very self educated. He's doing a lot of reading, both for work and for pleasure.
Mm-hmm.
And he helped to set articles for Health or How to Live in the Health Reformer, becoming familiar with Ellen G. White's theories of health. And he became a vegetarian after listening to her Seventh Day Adventist stuff.
You ever figure that he just didn't know a whole lot because he's setting type and reading everything backwards? And that's why he's off on this.
Why he's so fucking ass backwards.
Yeah.
Mrs. Ella G, I just wanted to write your call to let you know some health tips I've picked up on the job. Don't eat the printer ink. Don't stick your hands in the machinery. Don't fall into the hell box with the other cast off typesets.
Yeah, with the crippled devils that didn't finish probation without losing a finger in the threshing in the machine, right?
Yeah.
If a snake visits you in your dreams and offers you a bargain, don't take it.
There's this meme I keep seeing, and I love it. It's of Eve like looking at an apple, and she's like, "But God said I shouldn't eat from the apple." And then a snake cuts in really quick, going, "No." I love that the modernization of that old tale. But anyway, yeah. So now Kellogg's starting to grow up, and he's one of four people who raised a bunch of money to give to the leaders of the Seventh Day Adventist, Ellen G. White, her husband, James Springer White, to relocate to Battle Creek, Michigan, with their publishing business in 1855. So he's like, well, if I can't go to the Seventh Day Adventist, I'll make them make their home base right where I am, kind of thing.
Yeah, so, right. That works.
Yeah,
I work at home. It's a great idea.
Yeah. Kellogg hoped to become a teacher, and at age 16, he actually taught a district school in Hastings, Michigan.
I attended public school from ages 9 to 11. I'll make a great teacher.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I sorted brooms, read backwards. I'm the most qualified man in Michigan, actually.
Yep. Because he even went to Michigan State Normal School at age 20.
Good.
Is that actually what it's called? Because there's all this like 19th century terminology that just might mean, did they call it normal school opposed to like prep or whatever?
It's a good question. I wasn't
okay,
there for
sorry,
it.
That was a goof. I'm sorry.
Oh. It's a good, no, I mean, like, you kind of have a point, but
yeah, you're throwing shit at me like printer devil, and then you're like, normal school. I'm like, okay.
Yeah.
I spilled my drink. I'll be back.
Yeah.
Keep going.
And he was enrolled in a teacher's training course there, but the Kelloggs and the Whites. At normal school to become a teacher at 20. But the Kelloggs and the Whites convinced him to join his half-brother Merritt, along with Edson White, William C. White, and Jenny Tremblay as students in a six-month medical course at Russell Trawls Hygiotherapeutic College in Florence Township, New Jersey.
another great name. Normal school, some would call it.
Yeah, exactly. So why did the church folks send these like five like trusted members of the church to become doctors, right? Like it's doesn't really go directly with secularism to become a doctor.
I would say prayer probably wasn't cutting it at this point.
So yeah, their goal was to develop a group of trained doctors like that would be on their side and would live in the Reform Institute in Battle Creek. And if the science folk tried to mess with the church, they'll have people who are well-informed and can at least defend their side well enough for any normal person at normal school to not know the difference.
It's the Fox News strategy, right?
Yeah.
Like, we'll get one guy, get him the credentials, pay for it all, make sure he passes. And even though he's our quack, he's, you know, he's got some air of credibility.
That's right, yeah. So he can pull from the same studies that other folks are and be able to have different spins on it and all these types of things.
Vaccines cause autism, et cetera, et cetera. Right.
Yeah.
They don't, for the record. Because it wasn't clear that I was joking.
I haven't read the documentation, but Kellogg gained fame while being the chief medical officer at the Battle Creek Sanitarium. I love the name too. The Battle Creek's
a great name for a town, for sure.
Yeah,
honestly. Yeah.
And then the sanitarium too. It feels like there's something violent, but like clean. It's like almost like violent cleansing, which is something he probably believes in.
Yeah,
but, yeah.
It's almost like it's almost too good to be like a video game location. You know what I mean? Yes. Like it's too on the nose to even like exist in a video game. But yeah, very good.
I thought of this idea, by the way, because I was thinking of the games I played recently. And I was using, there's a character named Kellogg in Fallout 4, and I was using his pistol. And then I was like, oh yeah, that Kellogg guy has like a crazy life story, like the real Kellogg guy. Why don't I think about that? So it did come from a video game. So
there you go.
Battle Creek Sanitarium, put it in Fallout 4, someone.
Even though it's in Michigan.
There's a sanitarium you go to, and like an abandoned one in Dishonored 2.
Nice.
Which is like, again, one of these like rich people hotels with all these like, you know, quack treatments for various whatever for the consumption or shit like that.
Yeah, cool. So Adventists believed in promoting a vegetarian diet, abstinence from alcohol and tobacco, good exercise, all which Kellogg followed. And he's remembered as an advocate for vegetarianism and wrote in favor of it very early, like before that was some like you'd hear about it a lot more now than you would back then, kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Even after leaving the Adventist church in his midlife. So he only stayed with them for like the first half of his life, but still always had that influence.
Is this why there's no bacon bits and cornflakes?
This is why.
Yep. But you know what? Man, you
buy it says bacon. A box to use milk and not beef broth.
Well, you put the beef broth in the cereal first in the morning.
Yeah. You put the cereal in the milk. But if you're using beef broth, you put the beef broth first.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Lucky Charms with bone broth. It's like, oh,
God. Oso Buco, a la Lucky Charms.
Okay. Yeah, so this is a good place. We kind of have the background now. You can see where Kellogg came from, like where he grew up, the kind of projection of his life. But now we can go on to the shorter half of the episode after this break and start to talk about some of his contributions to society in terms of his inventions and other ideas. So,
boy, I hope they were all good.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Yeah, we'll see you guys after the break. Hello, welcome back from the break. So we're still talking about John Harvey Kellogg, JHK.
I cranked one out in the break. That's what I was supposed to do, right?
Yeah. He would be so mad, dude.
No, Ghost of John Harvey Kellogg. Not the...
For a
not guy? The spectral circumcision. No!
Yeah. I mean... There's got to be something weird going on, right? Like adopting 50 kids and never having a single one with your wife and saying you should never have sex unless it's to have a kid. Like,
gay. And it's just like illegal and unacceptable at that point, right?
Gay. Maybe he's just like asexual. Like, yeah. maybe he's just a fucking freak. I don't know if we need to put all his trauma on the LGBTQ community, but there's definitely something going on.
One of his things he invented, I didn't have it down here because it wasn't one of his more important inventors, was the 4-foot massager.
Okay.
Where you can put two people at once.
Wait.
Fuck.
I wish I could have guessed.
No. Well, I actually don't even know. I didn't look it up. So I'm speculating. But.
I immediately thought of some anti-happy ending device that was like an extended like arms you would give to the lady that was doing it.
It's not
you,
a
right?
sin if you can do it from the next room, right? Like
like 4 feet away. It's just obviously Mickey Mouse gloves, and then you just do the chopping motion. It's like just on meter sticks, right?
Yeah. I envisioned like human feet, but made out of like I don't know pig flesh or something. And there's just like a big crank and they just like massage your back and you get four of them to just like massage your back.
Oh,
you know?
Yeah. We both thought of like a Dr. Seuss factory.
Of course. Yeah.
I thought more of like a nail spa, like a nail spa, two people sitting next to each other can get their feet wet and massaged at the same time. But okay, boring, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's boring. And that's not going to help his wife out.
4-foot massager.
I know, it's weird that he's just like,
oh, I just made the whatever, the salt water tub wider. And it's like, oh, genius, patented.
Yep. So first, the one that he's known most for is foods. So he marketed a wide variety of vegetarian foods. Some of them were, they're basically meant to be easy to chew and to digest. And if you have like a starchy food, such as a grain, they're ground and baked to promote the conversion of starch into dextrin. He loved nuts. Nuts was like his big thing. He's like,
well, no, he didn't. He didn't love nuts. He hated sex.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. There, well, he would grind them up, or boil, or steam them. So
this man hated sex, and he was into grinding. Oh my god! Yeah. What a hypocrite.
He thought that nuts were going to be the future. Basically, whenever we make all of our
no, babe, our, I'm telling you. Nuts are the future.
He's kind of right. Like, they're fucking
nuts.
California used all of its water on almonds. There is none left. Like, there's he no was water on the left. Right track.
They
right?
used it all in almonds.
Yeah. Yeah. And like, whenever, like, people would, I guess, like, more people that versus farmland or something, like, as population was ramping up, nuts were like, to him, the way that we would have to go. Cause I don't
they're
know.
They're fatty and nutritious. I kind of get it.
Yeah, I don't know. That's his thing. That's Kellogg.
Yeah.
Hey, they're very healthy. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
Just what a harebrained thing to say.
Nuts are the future. Yeah.
And all the foods he developed tended to be bland, because in the teachings of Ellen G. White,
I was going to say flavor is sin. It's indulgent.
Yeah, it blend foods to bland foods minimize excitement, sexual arousal, and masturbation. One thing I want to make clear, because it's really not like today, whenever you hear Kellogg, if you know this story, it's like, oh yeah, he made cereal to stop masturbation. As much as that was like kind of his thoughts, it was never marketed that way. It was always like, diet, this is good. You don't have to chew it as much.
Well, yeah, because he was an insane person and came up with this very marketable product, which was going to be super successful, as we can see through the lens of hindsight, and gave it to sane, rational people who were interested in making money, and we're like, John, we'll tell people it'll stop their impure urges.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't worry, Johnny boy, we got this. Yeah,
we'll take it from here, John. Okay.
Yeah.
You're gonna put it on the box that you won't be horny after breakfast, right? You're like, yeah, we'll put it on the box, John. Don't worry.
I'll put it on the box. No, put the scalpel away. I'm not interested in a circumstance.
Yeah,
I don't care if you're a doctor. Wait, how long did you go to school? 3 years? Yeah, no, put the scalpel away.
One foreskin in every box.
I mean, there is one of the reliquaries of, or one of the relics of Jesus of Nazareth is his foreskin. There's a lot of places that claim to have his foreskin.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I want to claim that.
I don't want to bootleg foreskin. That's bullshit.
Bootleg Jesus foreskin. I got it off Alibaba.
Yeah, it took 8 months to show up and it's broken in half. Nobody wants the Alibaba foreskin, dude. That's bullshit. Yeah, it was $6, but it was $140 shipping.
Yeah,
the wish.com for, or the pray.com foreskin, I guess.
They're way more likely to be smuggling kids.
Yeah. Mom, we want Jesus foreskin. Jesus foreskin at home. It's just a bowl of nuts.
It's just a bunch of almonds.
Yeah, it's a breakfast cereal. Our boy in 1877, he starts experimenting to make a softer breakfast food. He sees
call it Jesus's foreskin. It's like, we're going to call it cornflakes, John.
Yeah. Just imagine. Okay, now just imagine. Here's my pitch. Just imagine. A bowl of Jesus's foreskins and a shallow amount of milk. You see, you put the milk in, and then you put a bunch of Jesus foreskins on top. You eat those. Doesn't that sound great?
Or how about this? Instead of cornflakes, anti-porn flakes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
That's like the marketing team would like that one.
What about Crown of Thorn Flake?
Hmm?
Very good. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right, so around 1877,
I didn't have another bit. That was just great.
Yeah, so he starts to make a softer breakfast food, easier to chew than last night's dinner. It's a mixture of wheat, oats, and corn, baked at high temperatures for a long period of time to break down or dextrinize starch molecules into grain. There's also like a school of thought back then that you really had to. I forget the person who coined it, but chew all of your food 40 times before swallowing.
Oh, I feel like I've heard this about when talking about in the context of John Harvey Kellogg before as well.
Right. Yeah.
Just nut. Yeah. If you ever, next time you're eating something, if you're listening to the show and eating something right now, count to 40. Like it is such
a lot of chews.
Yeah. Such and not now. Like fresh bite 40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like I'm like 7 and I'm done. That food is like over chewed at this point.
So, yeah. There's some foods where you don't even have to chew.
That? Oh my God.
Box of Kraft dinner, a box of macaroni and cheese. I think I could get through it with like 0 bites if I had to.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, yeah. It depends how cooked the noodles are, but I think even al dente box macaroni, you can probably.
I also want to say a guy giving chewing advice who's this into yogurt, I don't believe anything he's gonna say.
it's somebody else's rule, but he's like, no, I stand behind it. Totally. Yeah.
Oh,
and it's that makes endorsement. Sense.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And that's why I'm a doctor. That makes sense.
And that's
even
why he
Jesus
made
foreskin.
That's why he made his breakfast food softer and cooked it so much longer. So you with all this time in the morning, right? You don't have to chew 40 times before swallowing.
I did the chewing for you to save you time.
Yeah. Especially when work starts at what, like 5 in the morning, you need to get to the printing press and you're expected to chew 40 times before that.
Yeah, you got
a nice bowl of beef broth and Jesus foreskin set you on your way for a bright and shiny day.
Yeah, chewing this fucking foreskin that feels like a wallet for 40 times so I can go to fucking work and yell at the printer's devil.
Bag of beef jerky, but jerked foreskins. Oh, jerked foreskins. That's funny.
That sounds okay.
That sounds okay. Jerk my foreskin. That sounds okay. Well, oh, no, bad. No, goes to Dr. John Harvey Kellogg.
He's here again.
The beef broth. The bees.
After it cooled, they cooked that stuff on real hot. He breaks it into crumbs, the bread that comes out of this. And then it was originally marketed under the name Granula.
Okay.
But
I was going to say, you might call it not crumbs, but flakes.
Well, first it's granula, and then it leads to legal problems with James Caleb Jackson, who already sold a wheat cereal under that name, apparently.
Wait, damn, so John Harvey Kellogg invented cereal, but he named it after some other guy's cereal that he'd already invented?
I guess so, man. James Caleb Jackson next week.
The numbers, Mason, what do they mean?
I was just about to say, it's like, how did the second cereal on Earth run into copyright problems? What the fuck?
Yeah. Well, it's like when there was 2 cars in the state of Ohio or something, and they had an accident, they got crashed into each other.
So, the granula, like, maybe would have been under James Caleb Jackson. I need to look it up, but it might have been just like an ingredient for something else. Like when you make a pie, put some granula on the top to give it a crunch or something. I don't know if it was actually cereal, but
the inventor of the first dry whole grain breakfast cereal,
James Caleb Jackson. Okay, there
which
we go.
He called granula.
He so,
was
what do you
in 1811 and he died in 1895?
Wow, he's much
younger. He was part of a series on Seventh Day Adventist Church. I don't know if he was part of it.
So
he was a physician. And he opened a hydropathic institute.
Oh no,
whoa, dude! He's like the same guy.
Okay, yeah, we're doing a cereal multi-parter to close out the year of Loreboys. Okay,
yeah,
from now until the end of December, it's just cereal guys because they're all freaks. Clearly,
yeah.
Just wait till we get to the fucking honeycomb mascot. That guy's a freak. Wait till you see his foot massage device.
So, yeah. Granula was already taken, so he called it granola. And that's
granula was already taken. Like, what do you mean? There was one, like Peter said, there was one other fucking cereal, and you just called it the other guy's cereal?
That's exactly what he did.
Oh, yeah. My God.
Oh, maybe we could blame it on the marketing team in this one.
Yeah, who knows?
Yeah. But,
the Kellogg's are best known for the invention of cornflakes down the line. I don't know if their first batch was cornflakes, but cornflakes was what they got popular for.
Okay.
Next one up is kind of it's argued. Nobody really knows exactly where it came from. I always hear from American comics that whenever you think of like Black history, that Black folks invented peanut butter, but John Kellogg is also one of the people who's been credited for the invention.
Okay.
So he,
it's supposed to be that George Washington Carver or something is
the
Black guy who invented
Yes.
Marcellus Gilmore Edson was a Canadian chemist and pharmacist.
Yeah. So I have all these guys. I have all these guys.
Okay.
So Rose Davis of Algerville, New York, he, as early as 1840, was credited as making a peanut spread after her son described Cuban women grinding peanuts into paste and eating it on bread. So okay. 1840, stole it from Cuba. Then we have in 1884, Marcellus Gilmore Edson of Montreal, Canada. Obtained a patent for the manufacture of peanut candy. So it's a flavoring paste made from roasted peanuts with 7 parts of sugar. So we're getting closer to it. And this is 1884. In 1894, we have George A. Bale of St. Louis selling a cheese nut snack food containing peanuts and cheese. And then the peanut only version was more successful when they took the cheese out the nuts.
Just John Harvey Kellogg shaking at the phrase cheese nut.
What did they do to my pure flavorless snack?
And then the one that we know, or that is more well known, is the George Washington Carver.
Yeah.
He's often credited because of his scientific work with peanuts and the promotion of their use. But Carver and Kellogg corresponded in the 1920s and 30s about the use of both peanuts and sweet potatoes in recipes. So I'm fine with leaving it with George Washington Carver with the W on this one. Kellogg could go fuck himself.
He had a little yam pen pal there.
Sure, this guy may have invented peanut butter, but he was in correspondence with a white. So why wouldn't we give credit to Mr. Kellogg?
Yeah, it's true. Yeah, that's probably what they said.
Correspondence with the White could be the name of this show, to be fair.
That
should just be an alternate word for podcast.
Yeah. Correspondence with the Whites.
Yeah, a CWW. Yeah. So he actually made some meat substitutes back in the day, which... around 1895, they found
made Impossible Flakes. Shit.
He introduced but did not patent Nuttose, Nuttose, the first commercially produced alternative to meat. And Nuttose was made from peanuts, resembled cold roast mutton. By seasoning and mariting, they could taste like fried chicken or barbecue. I don't know how close they could get it back then, if they're still... they're getting closer now. Ethan probably knows better than any of us, but I feel like back then, I don't know how you make peanuts taste like barbecue or like fried chicken and barbecue.
Soy dogs are pretty good, actually.
Yeah. I had shiitake mushrooms done as General Tao today. So I actually looked up the restaurant and be like, did I actually order chicken? But no, shiitake mushrooms are so fucking good. And I say that as somebody who hasn't eaten chicken in 4 years. So I'm sure somebody who eats chicken more regularly would be like, yeah, no, this is definitely mushrooms, but...
Big fat mushrooms on my end here.
Googled Nuttose because I wanted to get a picture of it. I can't find a picture of it, but they do have, like, there's a modern brand called Natina, advertises made with peanuts. Would you guys like a picture of fresh at the can Natina? Because it does not look good.
I was going to say, it's either going to look like refried beans or Spam, both of which are horrible.
Yeah, it looks like canned bread.
It looks like cat food.
Yeah, it's like bread almost like in an aspic, you know? Yeah. Like bread suspended in gelatin.
Yeah, it's really weird.
Him, though, for making vegan alternatives. That's neat.
Yeah, he's so strange. Like, there's like some parts that are like so progressive about him, and then other parts where he's like... Yeah, he's like, oh, we shouldn't eat meat, but also, like, white people should be the only people around. It's like, well, where the fuck did you get that part, you know?
Okay,
like,
sorry. Yeah. I'm closing tabs, and I'm still on the James Caleb Jackson page. He's so similar to John Harvey Kellogg. It's got 3 names, first of all. But also, he wrote a book, Dancing, Its Evils and Its Benefits.
Ooh, I want to read that.
Right?
That sounds cool.
Fantastic.
Episode's about dancing. I'm pushing whatever I was gonna do next week to a month and a half for now.
Yeah. I thought about doing Sekiro today, but I was like, no, that would be stealing Pete's thunder way too much.
That's not next week, but soon.
With Christian believers, there is a very general distrust existing toward dancing as an amusement. They feel that it is productive of wide evil, and the more liberal of them believe that it is, at best, productive of only incidental good. Oh my god.
Incidental is... good.
Yeah, so that's the intro, and then it starts with physiological evil.
Well, so next up, we're moving on to some of his medical feats. Now that we've gotten cornflakes and peanut butter out of the way.
Peanut butter, which he did not invent, for the record.
Which, no, he didn't. Yeah. But he...
Well, it was canon.
Sometimes tries to take the... We had like four people in front of him on that list too, and we'll still give it to the guy that everybody normally says. So
that's it. Yeah. Four black people, or three black people at least.
Yeah,
mostly black people. So not surprising that it was stolen. Also, photography was invented by a black
person. Also, the Cuban ladies that were already doing it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So next up, you can look at the next photo I have for you. It is the one with the chair and the light bulbs.
Okay.
So this is called a radiant light bath.
This is big on Fox News too now, showing your butthole to the sun or whatever.
Oh,
right?
Sunning your nuts. Yeah.
So this is complete quackery, except for there is some folks who treat depression with light that basically mimics the sun. It's just like if you're not getting outside enough,
it
then
tricks your body into producing vitamin D. Right?
Yes. So that's the only type of therapy that is real for this. But he would stick people with fatal illnesses in a closet full of light bulbs and leave them in there for a while and just be like,
to be fair. Better, so man. In this picture, it's like a white stool with a back in a, like James says, a closet of mirrors and light bulbs. Yes. And then there's just like the perfect little carve out for your head, so you would close all the flaps presumably, and just your head would be sticking out of this box, so you could still have a conversation with people.
I didn't notice that. Foot, they have little foot vents too.
Yeah, so your feet can breathe. Yeah. That's important.
I don't know how many. You can only get 2 feet on there. Yeah. You can only get like maybe you can't get four. So this thing is not adapting.
This is not the four. This is not the 4 foot.
Yeah, the 4 foot light bath.
No. It's kind of reminiscent of those like old people bath that you are like the taller
the
ones.
The sit down bath. Yeah. My grandmother has one of those.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Every time they would come on, my dad used to say how ridiculous it would be to have to sit and wait for it to drain.
That's correct. Yeah.
Don't open the door on my light bath until all the bulbs are off. Yeah.
I don't want you to see my shame.
Yeah, another invention.
Mark, this hides my shame.
Another invention I found of his is the last picture. I think it's an exercise machine. I couldn't find it. It's called the camel bench. Or the camel something. Let me see.
Hey, okay, so you to describe me. It.
The
it
camel
is,
for exercise.
If anybody has seen an old sewing machine, it's got the big wheel on the bottom that I guess you move with your feet. In this photo, you can't see if it's got pedals, but it is just like the metal kind of middle cutout of a horse with just a fucking regular saddle on it.
Yeah.
And then what looks like an Uzi on the front and like a big wooden crank.
Yeah. So yeah, you can it's just an exercise machine, I guess, before really like back then I feel like you just went to work more than anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
just worked in the lead mines until your back broke.
Yeah.
The Industrial Revolution, baby.
You just make hats until you go crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He also created an irrigator. But this is in the medical field. So it's not for tending to your farmer's fields of wheat for the cereal. It's his invention of improvements to an irrigating apparatus, particularly adaptable for colonic irrigating.
Yeah, gotta go flush out this year's nut harvest, if you know what I mean.
It's yogurt, I swear. Yeah. So the improved irrigator had features such as measuring the amount of liquid entering and exiting the colon, as well as regulating the positive pressure of the pump liquid. So I don't know, I guess when you're filling up the butt, it's got like a little gas station like ticker going.
Dings at the end. You got an attendant in a little paper hat with like a striped shirt. Like, well, gee howdy there, mister. What are we doing today? Filling her up?
Yeah.
$40 worth of yogurt, please.
$40. Come right up, sir. You want the premium unleaded or regular unleaded?
No, all the lead, please. I'm told at this time in history that it's good for me.
Yeah. This guy just wants a tip. I'll do self-service.
Just a tip, right?
Yeah. Irrigation.
I'm going to fill you up. Just get in this room. You'll see there's this conveniently cut hole in the wall. Just put your posterior right up against that.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's got a little like infinity like cut in the wall, just like two butt cheeks that you can go through.
Yeah.
He invented the glory hole, basically, mm-hmm. right? Yeah. Like, that's what we're going to get for canon.
Oh, my greatest shame.
They're mispurposing my enema room.
So back to his personal life and away from his inventions. He married Ella Ervilla Eaton.
Is she one of his cousins? It's that time of in history.
Not that I know. It didn't mention
great name. Ella Ervilla Eaton.
Yeah, EEE of Alfred Center in New York on February 22nd, 1879. The couple maintained separate bedrooms and did not have any biological children. But like I said, they were foster parents to 42 children and legally adopted 8 of them, probably the white ones. And although John Harvey Kellogg had done some good in his life, this is just in case Ethan didn't interrupt me or not interrupt me, but like give the right message earlier. He has bad opinions, like bad opinions about sex. He was really hurtful to the boys and girls he operated on, trying to make them stop have sexual urges, which is some weird projection he had.
Like, he's clearly a lunatic is the main issue, right?
Yeah, he's a racist and he believed in eugenics, like I said, starting off with like mental illness or physical illness that was based off of like what your parents have. So like if like two people with Down syndrome shouldn't have a child, he would say. And then he started to extend that to different races and things. And all of it's bad, but that's sad. And he would influence Nazi ideology eventually, since he was before then. So fuck him.
Fuck him.
Yeah.
I'm glad he's dead. I'm upset that he's still haunting my living room, but I'm glad he's dead.
Yeah. So if you ever wondered how Cyril came about, it was from him hoping that you wouldn't.
Maniacs invented cereal is what we've learned by Googling other guy, too. What the fuck?
And I think Adnan did it.
Yeah. And it's really weird how some of the craziest people
for a while.
The craziest people are going to have the biggest impact on like day-to-day life, right? Like, how many people are going to pour a bowl of cereal this morning, tomorrow morning? And it all came from this fucking psychopath.
I mean, it holds true to this day that like insane, like the more batshit crazy you are, like there is a charisma to it that does convince a lot of people if you're just like screaming loud.
And convinced in yourself too, like to the point of it being theological. You believe in your own.
It's still true. Value. Like I saw, I can't remember the guy's name on this YouTuber. I check in once in a while. He does like videos about fraud. Like Sam Bankman-Fried, all the crypto shit, Elon Musk are this guy now. Like all these people who come up to you, they just make at least
there's a cat. The cat is literally on my friggin' thing. And she's in heat and she's screaming and she's walking on my stuff.
Give us a scream on mic. Come on,
poor BB.
Give us a scream on
mic. Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, she's shy now.
Just pawing at the little pop filter.
She was doing little burbs, but I don't think it was coming through. No, I'm picking up.
But yeah, like there's always going to be some guy with snake oil.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Dr. Oz, Trump, like all these people.
At least the good side of this guy was just like eat vegetables and exercise. Like that's good. Whereas like the people
drinking's bad.
Hucking fake money. I mean, not that money's real. At least it's backed by a government. But like, you know, like Sam Bankman-Fried and Elon Musk are just in it for themselves now. Like, I don't think there's anything redeeming about either one of those guys. Like, Elon at least made electric cars cool, which at present I believe is better than gas cars. But, like, who knows what the fuck is going to happen there.
Look how bad my cat wants to find a mate right now.
I know, she's so flopping, cute.
She's flopping and like rubbing herself all over the ground.
Fuck me.
Yeah. Goes for Turner Ernie Kellogg. Don't go after the cat.
No, yeah.
He doesn't know
Here's
any better.
Cornflakes, dude.
Oh my god, what a sin, actually. I'm gonna eat meat and I'm gonna eat you because you're a sin.
Yeah.
Don't lead me to temptation, beast.
But yeah, I mean, like, this kind of person has existed forever. It's just like, it's less common now, I guess, because if there's a guy who, like, might just be sick in some way, he can get treatment before leaving school when he's 11 and going to work for, like, sort his father's brooms, right? Yeah. Like, you can go to the hospital now, which is much, much better.
As bad as things seem, pretty much across the board, they're better now than they've ever
been. Yeah, right? Exactly.
So, like,
yeah. Well, that was the story of our buddy JHK. Well, not our buddy, but an interesting
friend of the show, JHK.
Interesting story.
Did you know that the JK and JK Rowling stands for John Kellogg? So,
reincarnated.
Yeah.
No, ghost of John Kellogg. Don't write children's books about wizards.
Yeah.
Don't fiddle with your wand outside of class.
Oh yeah. Don't publish that tweet, John.
All right. I think it's a good enough time as any to get out of here. So who normally does? Ethan, you start this usually, right?
Yeah, sure. If you like the show, consider leaving us a review or telling your friends. It's the only way we grow, and it means the world to us that you'd be willing to share such a silly, zany story as John Hervey Kellogg with your friends. If you want to get in touch, we have an email, contact@loreboys.com. Received a lovely email the other day from a name who I'm not going to remember. Samuel. Oh, that's true. Samuel. Longtime Discord member as well. Discord.gg/loreboys.
Yeah.
Hey, yeah. I got to pause every time. One day I'll write it down on a post-it note and just stick it on my computer. But
I'll always say it anyways. Yeah. I always do Discord in my little thing.
So. Yeah. So yeah, Jamie, you want to talk about Discord?
Yeah, coming to Discord. It's been popping off. There's a lot of stuff going on. People are hanging out. They had a community night a couple weeks ago. People are just hanging out in there. Pete and I will make some appearances every once in a while, but no promises. But the good stuff is that you can get access to loser titles, game that we play today. So like, if you would have to guess something like a foreskin in every box, right? And then what could that be? What could the boys be talking about this week? And then if you guess right, one of the folks, I think Jodo's keeping scores. So there's a fun little game that all the patrons play. Then there's also, you can ask us anything, episode picks. If you don't feel like going to find these yourself, we will include them. And all that kind of good stuff. That's if you are a subscriber. But if you're not a subscriber, there is a good 20 other channels of stuff to do in there as well.
Yeah.
So up in the Discord, discord.gg/loreboys, LOREBOYS. You know where to find us here, so you should find us there.
Yeah, it's the best way to get in touch with us. Feel free to add us or ping us or let us know if you got something going on or want a question to answer, question for us, whatever it might be, huh? And Peter, what's going on with you / Instagram?
At Loreboys Podcast on Instagram. I still update it. I am on social media vacation. Still, it's been nice. I'm deleting your fucking messages, not reading them. But feel free to forward us memes, because when I do get back into the swing of things, I will appreciate all the shit that you...
The meme game is strong in our Discord server, I think. I'm not in a ton, but I'm happy with the meme game.
My favorite one today was Fragile Shark posted Meadow from The Sopranos, and that, like, it's episode like 7 or something, the one that where she goes to college and she goes, "Dad, are you in the mafia?" Right, and it's just that, like,
gangster fucking SpongeBob,
that gangster SpongeBob t-shirt, but standing where, like, that's what he's supposed to be. Fucking made me laugh.
Send us stuff. If you want to support the show, we do have a Patreon, patreon.com/theloreboys, where you get access to some of the things that Jamie mentioned, the bonus content, which is us just talking, and some other cool stuff. So check it out if you're interested. patreon.com/theloreboys. There's a link in the description.
I am so sorry, guys. This cat is just running right over my mic.
She's running amok right now.
Yeah. She's like banging her head on the floor, which is like shaking the mic. I'm just holding her now until we're finished. Yeah.
If you don't trust Patreon, of course, we do have Loreboys Prime. This week, we are in need of a Ghostbuster. Because I do be wanting to bust, if you know what I mean. But I got a bit of a problem with the ghost in my house right now. He keeps putting all my bread into gelatin, and sometimes I will wake up and my genitals are in like an aspic, just kind of suspended in a jelly, like the first episode of The Office. it's an unpleasant way to start your day, I gotta say. You know, I just want to get up and have my bowl of cornflakes and jerk off before work starts, and it's really hard to do. Really hard to do. When I look down and my nuts are in jelly, and
yeah, there's yogurt leaking out of you.
Yeah, I mean the yogurt was not, that was me, that was on purpose, but that was to increase sexual urges, actually, paradoxically. So
yeah,
if anyone knows a good Ghostbuster or you are a good Ghostbuster, then we'll hit you with some prime benefits.
Like, crunch at us.
Like nuts.
40 times, crunch at us.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll give you exclusive rights to any time you see Peter in person, you can request all the nuts in his pocket, and he has to give them to you.
I do.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All the nuts he's carrying at any time.
I'm like an undercover cop.
Yeah.
You got all nuts on you? You have to tell me.
I want to add something, but I'm literally holding my cat in a choke hold and focus on this. But yes.
Cool. And I think that would cost you a
Lore Boys.
Out.
He'll be gone.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.